Okay, today is Wednesday, December 28th, 28th day of the month of Kislev. This is the women's Chumash year. We're in the middle of Bereshit, Perek Yud Bet. Rabotai, we are up to Bereshit, Perek Yud Bet. Pasuk Tet. And I'm going to thank the Kli Yakar for making a comment that will enable me to say something about Hanukkah too. Because I was talking, should we have a Hanukkah? Should we have this? I can have both. Hanukkah both. He made it the comment. It's far from the pshat, but he's going to make a very interesting comment, and I'll tell you Rav Cook's interpretation of a pasuk that we say in Hallel, all related to the same idea. So the Torah says that Avram moved, and he went to Beit El, Vayivan Sham Mizbeach, Vayisa Avram, Haloch V'Nosoa HaNegba. Avram traveled, and he traveled to the south. It's a very unusual formulation. Could have just said what? Vayisa Avram, HaNegba, to the south. Why does it have to say, it says Vayisa, Haloch V'Nosoa HaNegba. Very unusual phrasing. So Rashi comments on that particular phrase and says, that's the difficulty to which Rashi is reacting, almost all Parshanim are reacting, Lifrakim. In other words, he's doing it in stages. Yoshev Kan Chodesh Oyoter, Vinotea Misham, Vinotea Ahalo B'makom Acher. He moves to one place, pitches his tent, stays there for a month or so, and then packs up and moves. V'chol Masa'av HaNegba. Every one of his travels were always in the direction of the south. Lalechet Lidroma Shel Eretz Yisrael. To proceed in a southerly direction. So as often as he traveled, he is traveling always to the south. And that's why it says, Vayisa Avram, it's not that he went straight from point A to point B. It's Haloch V'Nosoa. He travels, he stays, tries to spread his message to a different community. If he's less successful, packs up his bags a little earlier and moves on. But he's always moving to the south. Why, says Rashi, he litzad Yerushalayim. Because moving south is in the direction of the holy city of Yerushalayim. Shehu b'chelko shel Yehuda. Shinatlu bidroma shel Eretz Yisrael lahar hamiruya shehi nachlato. So Avram wanted to eventually reach, Har Hamoriah. So somebody asked me that last week. The birthday girl asked me last week. Why is the city called Beit El? So here it's called Beit El on account of what it will be referred to in the future. Right now, Beit El in this location is not Har HaMoriah. When Yaakov comes, Ein Zeh Ki Im Beit Elohim V'Zeh HaShar HaShamayim, what does he call the place? Beit El. So from here on in, at least in biblical text, Beit El is Har HaMoriah. That's not the way it's going to happen later on and in history. Beit El is not the way we're going to refer to Har HaMoriah much later on. In Tanakh, Beit El is a separate city. But Yaakov, and that's the one that probably Avram referred to as Beit El. But it's not Har HaMoriah at this location, at this point. Yes. Yeah, we're going to have that in Pasuk Yud Chet. Kum hitalech ba'aretz. No doubt. 100%. At the end of the chapter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will tell him to do precisely that. But he's been doing it all along.
Reality on the ground.
Correct. Reality on the ground. That's very important. We know that even as we speak right now. Kerry's putting out some two-state solution or something.
He said Israel can't have democracy and religion. It has to be just democracy. That's his words.
Okay. It's very nice. Good thing he'll be out of office in 3 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Now, I seek your help in explaining Sfarno's reaction to the phrase halofen asam. He says something, I know what he says, but I don't understand what he says. So on page number one of your handout, on the bottom of the page is the Holy Sfarno. Haloch v'nasoa hanegba. Kishenasa mimakom limakom kiminhag haroim. As Avram traveled from place to place, as was the custom of shepherds, shepherds always moved around. Because when their cattle ate up the grass in one location, you got to go to another location. It's not going to grow again that quickly. Lo halach limizrach velo lema'arav. He never traveled to the east, never traveled to the west. Shelo lintot me'achat mishtei ha'ayarot shehitchilu kitzatan lehimashech acharav. He did not want to deviate very far from two cities that seemed to have what? Started following him. In those places, we know, according to the Ramban and others, that what was the purpose of the establishment of a matzeva? Not to offer a korban, but what was the purpose of the matzeva? A platform upon which to stand and preach. And preach. Well, he was successful in two cities. Which two in all apparently? Beit El and Ai. So in order not to be too far away from the cities that he had success in, he did not travel to the east, or he traveled to, and didn't travel too far to the west. He went south. That's what he says. Now, why don't I understand? Because whether you go north, east, south, you're moving away from Ai and Beit El. Who cares what direction? But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Unless that's what he has in mind, haloch v'nasoa, back and forth. But he could have done the same thing going east to west. Move further east and then travel west. Go west and go back east. Could have done the same thing.
But he's just telling you why the Chumash says Hanegba.
Yeah.
He's answering why.
But he doesn't answer the question. If your purpose is, I know that's what he's trying to say, but if your purpose is to stay near Ai and Beit El, the two cities where he seemed to have had success, he could have remained close to them no matter what direction that he travels. If you go south, you're eventually going to be pretty far from Beit El and Ai. How does moving south keep you in closer proximity to Beit El than if you're going east or west? Yes?
It's, I think, to keep equidistant from both places and not to really seem to choose one over the other. So if he goes south, he's going to send you.
Okay, that's
else.
Interesting. Perhaps. Perhaps. That's good. Yeah?
I don't know the map, but I'm wondering if it's to stay within the same arm of Canaan that they're in. Is that one region? I don't know.
Not sure. Don't know.
Main road.
I don't know.
Maybe it was easier to navigate that way to go.
Right.
So then say it. I accept that reason. So then the Sfarno should say, you know why he went south? Because it was a comfortable road. But that's not what he says. He says that he didn't want to leave the two cities where he had a measure of success. So I ask Sfarno, if he'd walk in right here, I'd ask him, how does walking south keep you any more within closer proximity than walking east or west or north? He could have gone north by the same token. And then even your explanation, if you go north, it still remain equidistant. Didn't have to go south. Don't know. I'm just alerting you to think about it for Homer. There's no Giant game tonight. You can think about it. Rangers don't play tonight. There's a Knick game on, but okay. Just watch the fourth quarter. It's enough. Good. Kacha, that's what he says. I'm not 100% sure what he had in mind. Go to page number 3 for a minute. Page 3 and 4. And I'll show you what the Kli Yakar says. Haloch min asoa hanegba, on the bottom of the left-hand side of the page, is the Kli Yakar. And he also asked the question, why is he traveling southerly direction? Ulai, perhaps, ratza lihitchakem be'elohiyut. He wants to come get knowledge about what? About God. Elohiyut. About God. Ki harotze shiyachkim yadrim. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra that says, an enigmatic statement, that says, if you would like wealth, yatspin, go northward. If you would like chokhma, harotze lahakim, yadrim, go south. The Gemara doesn't explain why going north is going to help you attain riches and why moving to the south is going to make you any more intelligent than you are. But let's just see what he says on this pasuk. Aval ha'osher lo bikesh. If you want to know why he did not travel northbound, it's because Avram was not interested in the acquisition of wealth. How do I know? Shahare Omar, because later on it says, when Melech Sdom, after the battle of the 5 and the 4, in which Avram participated, offered what? Avram wealth. Avram said, he took an oath, im ekach michut v'atzrochna, if I would take anything, even a shoelace, velo tomar, ani he'esharti et Avram. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to say, Melech Sdom made Avram rich. Okay, so therefore, that explains why he went southward, because he wanted to somehow expand his intelligence. How is beyond me. That's the Gemara. I don't quite understand the Gemara. However, he continues. Ve'otan matanot shekibel al yidei Sarah, the gifts that Avram will receive just in a couple of psukim. After he goes to Mitzrayim, it says, Ula Avram heitiv ba'avura. The text tells us he gets cattle and avadim, shvachot, everything you can want. Haya muchrach likablam. He had to accept them, kidei shelo yaharguhu. Because if he didn't accept them, what would happen? They'd kill him. Shahare kulam natnu lo derech chanufa. The gifts were given as what? Maze chanifut? What? Chanifa is when you give something for a TL job. Perfect translation. Just as a TL job. Ulai, you can tell you're working in a school. Ulai, but you're working with girls. They probably wouldn't say that. Ulai, yitpate, litain et achotole isha. Perhaps they could convince him to give over his sister Sarah as a wife. The ilu lohaya mikabel, had he not accepted the gifts, hayu choshvim, they would have thought, flip the page to page number 4, on the bottom of the page, she'eno ritzono litna lahem, that he is going to decline giving Sarah to them, v'hayu horgim oto, and they would have killed him. Umikom makom lo ratza lehanot min otan hamatanot. He did not want to derive any personal benefit from the gifts that the Egyptians gave. How do I know? V'nitnam libnei hapilachim. At the end of Parshat Chaye Sarah, the Torah tells us that Avram had Pilag Shim, many concubines. And it says, Ulibnei HaPilag Shim Natan Matanot. To the children of these Pilag Shim, he gave gifts. Now, according to the Midrash, who were these Pilag Shim really? It was Hagar, whose name is disguised by calling her Keturah, but it was really Hagar once again. Hainu otan matanot shikvar kibel min hamitzriim. These are the gifts that he received from the Egyptians. Nitnam lebnei hapilakshim dahainu bnei Keturah vehi Hagar hamitzrit kipeirush Rashi. Kimin hatsriim lakach. He took the gifts from what? From Egyptians. Vehechziram vinitnam libnei Hagar hamitzrit, and he returned them to an Egyptian source. Very nice.
This is Pilakshim.
That's
just one.
That's correct. It's right. But it's called the bnei hapilakshim are from Keturah. That's what Rashi says. That's what the Kli Yakar says. Now, did anybody? I'm sure you've been to a cemetery in Israel. So many of the Chevra, not all, many of the Chevra, they have this very bizarre practice. They have lots of bizarre practices. Yes, and they say this pasuk. This pasuk, Ulibnei HaPilag Shim Natan Matanot. They take a circle, they walk around with a circle, in a circle, not facing the grave, but the grave is behind them. And they toss coins and they recite the pasuk Ulibnei HaPilag Shim Natan Matanot. No, they do it whenever they whenever you, they allow get away with it.
What do they tell that does for them?
It's a bribe. Because I asked them what's running through their minds. It says, this is what they claim, that every time a sperm was not did not impregnate the egg, that sperm comes back to haunt you at the time of the death. So in order to protect all the survivors, you buy them off. You give them matanot by giving these gifts so that they should not hover over the grave and injure anybody. I told them, had you told me this before, it happened to my grandfather's Leviah, we would never have allowed it because he didn't believe any of this nonsense. But anyhow, sometimes you see it and it happens. It happens. I was like,
They don't ask.
Sometimes they don't ask.
You think my husband would have liked that?
Absolutely not. That's for sure. That's for sure. He didn't believe in that stuff. Now, taking this idea of going south, so I want to share with you Rav Kook. Go to the last page for a minute. This is nothing to do with the Chumash, but it's based on the exact same idea that about going south and going north. You have in front of you Hallel, which we say during Chanukah, and Rav Kook interpreted how the Ashkenazim do the Na'anuim on Sukkot. And why each word has the direction in which you wave it. So if you wave it like Nusach Sfard, this is not going to work out according to you. Only Nusach Ashkenaz. And as you well know, Chanukah is modeled after Sukkot. It was the last Yom Tov that the Jews failed to observe. That's why you say the whole Hallel, like on Sukkot. That's why it's 8 days, because Sukkot is 8 days. That's many have established connections between Sukkot and Chanukah. Says Rav Kook, when we say Hodu Lashem, we go to the east, straight in front of you, because the assumption is you're davening facing east. Why? Because earlier in the Hallel it says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o Mehulal Shem Hashem. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the east. So Hodu Lashem when you go to the east. Ki and Tov. Ki, we go to the south. Now, why do we go to the south? So he cites this Gemara. Because you're looking for intelligence. Now, intelligence can be used in a variety of ways. There are people who use their intelligence for productive matter. They use their brains to figure out, you know, remedies and cures for illnesses. And there are other brilliant people who use their brains to make bombs to kill people. So knowledge in and of itself is not necessarily a positive virtue. How do we understand when we seek knowledge? What do we seek to use that knowledge? Ki tov. If you're willing to turn south and recognize that the knowledge that I've acquired is for the betterment of mankind, that's the type of knowledge I should secure. So that, after I say the word ki, I go to the word tov, because shchina b'ma'arav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shchina dwells in the west. On the western side of the Beit HaMikdash is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shchina resided. Kohen Gadol always walked in from east going to west. And he reached the furthermost west point of the Mikdash on Yom Kippur. He was standing in the Kachi HaKadoshim. So if you want to use the word ki appropriately, the seeking of knowledge, let it be based on tov, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose objective of using his chachma is to act for the betterment of society, for the betterment of the world. Then you turn to the north. Ki. You go to the north. That's the final direction. What happens when you go north, says the Gemara? Harotzeh leha'ashir. Somebody who wants to get wealthy, let him look northward. Well, if you become wealthy, you start thinking that what? That's my own talents. So the next two things are le'olam. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, ki Hashem nitzav le'olam. God resides above us. And we acknowledge that our wealth is handed to us as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what am I going to use my wealth for? Chasdo, to perform good deeds throughout the rest of the world. And that's when I go down. Chesed Hashem mala haaretz. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, and we should use our God-given wealth to somehow improve the lot of those people who need it. So that's why the directions, and that's how he explains this pasuk. Yeah.
Doesn't this fit in with the theme of the Arba Minim, who represent those who have chokma and those who have masa?
Yes, to some extent. Yes, no doubt, no doubt. Yes. Okay, let's get back to the text. That was Rav Kook's interpretation. The next, today and probably all of next week, the Ramban will be our host, because he will say a couple of things that, some I already told you and others not, others I haven't told you. It's just unbelievable what he has the guts to say. Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. Vayered Avram Mitzrayma lagur sham ki chavei ha-ra'av ba'aretz. There was a famine. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim because the famine proved to be very difficult. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ra'av ba'aretz. Rashi is troubled. Why does it have to say ba'aretz? Where else is there going to be a ra'av? In the cosmos? Where else is it? Of course it's going to be ba'aretz in the land. Answers Rashi. Be'ota Eretz Levada. Only Eretz Canaan was stricken with famine. Nothing else had a famine. Nothing. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause a famine only in Eretz Yisrael? Linasoto, to test Avram. Im yaharher achar dvarav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Will he question HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? She'omar lo lelechet Eretz Canaan. God instructed him to leave Haran and go to Eretz Canaan. V'achshav masi'o latzeit mimena. And now he's hinting, giving him some advice to do what? To leave the land. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell him directly to go, but he's certainly giving him a clue that I want you to leave by making conditions unbearable in Eretz Canaan. Kacha Omer Rashi. And that many consider this one of the tests of Abraham. You know, Asara Nisyonot, this is one of the first tests. Does he complain about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who you just told me to come here, what are you kicking me out for? Why are you kicking me out? That's what Rashi says. But now let's spend our time with the Ramban. And I bracketed it on page number 1, that will continue to page number 2, and page number 3, and page number 4. Okay. Says the Ramban, Vahira Avaritz, Hine Avraham Yorad Limitzrayim Bnei Haraav Lagur Sham Lahachayot Nafsho Bimei Habatzoret. Avram went down to Mitzrayim on account of the famine to dwell there, and I'm sure the Ramban has in mind, as Sforno points out black on white, that it says Lagur Sham Velo Lehishtakea. We say that in the Haggadah. Melamed Shelo Rorat Yaakov. Right? What does Lishtakeya mean? Settle down. His going to Mitzrayim was only a temporary solution. He knew that. On account of the famine. V'hamitzriim ashku oto chinam lakachat et ishto. Does anybody know what the word oshek is?
Oppression.
What?
Oppression. Oppression.
It could mean oppression, but in biblical terms, the word lo ta'ashok et re'acha, Vayikra chapter 19. It means to take. It means to steal. It's another form of theft. Another form of theft, according to biblical terms. Oshek is simply another theft of terms. Another, there's a pasuk in Vayikra chapter 5 where the Torah tells us that a shomer who God has something has to swear that I didn't steal it. If it disappeared or something, I didn't steal it. It's called oshek yad. So for no reason whatsoever are they planning on stealing something. It's not that Avram tormented them. He didn't threaten them. But for no reason whatsoever. V'hakadosh baruch hu nakam Nikmatam binegaim gidolim. And God afflicted them as revenge with what? With huge plagues. Vahotzi'o misham, and he took them out of Mitzrayim, bimikne, with cattle, bakesef ubazahav.
Sounds familiar.
Vigam tziva alav paro anashim lishalcham. And he also instructed Paro to send a delegation to escort Avram out of Mitzrayim. V'ramaz elav, and thereby he hinted to Avram, ki banav yerdu Mitzrayim b'pnei hara'av. Your children are going to go into Mitzrayim for the same reason, for a famine that took place by Yaakov and his children. Lagur sham be'eretz. And to what? What? To live there in the land temporarily. Vahamitzrim yiru lahem, and the Mitzrim will be naughty and terrible unto them. Vayikhu mehem hanashim, and they will seize their wives from them. Kaasher omar, and here he comes with an interesting read. Vichol Habat Tichayun. Why did Paro instruct the midwives only to kill the boys, not the girls? Because they wanted the girls for themselves. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yinkom Nikmatam, and God will seek their revenge again. The same thing. Binigaim Gidolim, with great plagues. Ad Shiyotziim Bechesef Vizahav Vitzonu Bakar Mikne Kaved Ma'ot, until they have gold and silver and cattle and flock. Vehechziku Bahem, and he will have grabbed unto them, literally grabbed them, Lishalcha Min Haaretz, get out of here already. Get out of here. Lo Nafal Davar Mikol Me'ora Ha'av Shelo Yiyeh Bibanim. Nothing that ever happened to the parents failed to happen for the children. Nothing. V'ho'inyan hazeh pirshu b'bereishis rabba. And this idea is not my own. I lifted it from Bereishis Rabba. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Pinchas says the name of Rabbi Shaya. Amara kadosh baruch hu le'avraham. Tzei uchbosh et haderech lifnei banecha. Go pave the way for your children that precede you. Ve'ata motzei. Kol ma shekatuv ba'avraham, katuv bebanav. Whatever is written by Avraham is recorded as well by Avraham. By Avraham. One second. Where is this? Page 2. Katuv vayhi ra'av b'yisaretz u'b'yisrael b'yakov, it says, ki zeh shnatayim hara'av b'keruf ha'aretz. Vida ki Avraham avinu chata chet gadol b'shkaga. Avram engaged in a very severe transgression. Shehivi ishto hatzadekes b'michshol avon. He placed Sarai in a compromising position. Mipnei pachado, because he was afraid pen yahargu, that they might kill him. V'haya lo liftalach b'ashem. He should have relied on a protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She yatzil oto ve'etishto ve'et kol ashelo. That God would protect him, his wife, and everything that he owned. Ki yesh be'elohim koach la'azor la'hatzil. God has that capacity to save and provide for you. Gam yitziyato min ha'aretz shenitztave oleh b'tchila m'nei harav avon asher chata. The fact that Avram left Eretz Canaan because of the famine was a serious transgression on Avram's part. Ki Elohim bira'av yifadenu mimaves. God has the capacity to spare you from death even if there is a ra'av. The al hama'aseh hazeh, and on account of this activity, Nigzar al Zaro, it had been decreed upon his children, Hagalut be'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad Paro. That's why they had to go down to Mitzrayim. Bimkom hamishpat shama horesha. You want to know where justice is achieved? Where you commit the crime. So Avram committed the crime in Mitzrayim by leaving Eretz Canaan, and as a result, what happens? He gets punished. Yes. His children get punished. It's unbelievably powerful.
I think Rabbi Moshe had a big issue with this Ramban. Only Rabbi Moshe had an argument with Ramban, I guess. But I think he says there that this is not a correct interpretation.
It's very difficult. It's extremely difficult. What?
The aspect of Hishtadlut.
Exactly. You're not, exactly. Ain't Som Kanal Anes. Not supposed to rely on a miracle.
And it's Chuyot that we see with Yaakov. Yaakov's not taking the task.
Well, but he didn't list his wife.
Right. He didn't put anybody in danger.
It's a matter of preparing.
It's right.
Letting someone else.
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying, the Golos was. That's why it happened to the children. But why did they go to Golos? Why did they go to Golos? Because he left the land. That's what the Ramban is saying. That's like I said, if you weren't the Ramban, you couldn't say such a thing.
Did the Ramban also say you should
with Hagar?
With Hagar?
Oh, 100%. He says Avram was dead wrong by telling you to send her away. 100%. That he sent her away, that he listened to Sarah until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. 100%. Yeah. Yes.
Earlier, Ramban had said something about the children will go with, I can't remember. The children will go with one of the fathers or
whatever happens.
Whatever happened to the children happens to the father, to the parents, to the children.
Why?
Siman Labanim. That's why these episodes are here. To tell you that this is what's going to happen.
You mean that we will be, that the descendants will be stuck in Egypt again and as slaves? Is that because of Avram?
Yes. Because he left the land. Yeah?
And Dafka went to Mitzrayim.
But that's correct.
It seems a pattern in the Torah that we always go to Mitzrayim whenever there's a famine in the land. Is that because Avram, or was it just that's...
That's the way God orchestrated it. He orchestrated it, that there is a famine again in Eretz Canaan, and which land happened to have lots of grub? Only Mitzrayim.
But even Yosef planned it that way, that there would be...
No, he didn't plan it that way. He recognized that I have to take advantage of the success that they're experiencing, the unusual success that they're experiencing. Yeah. We're finished with Mitzrayim.
Okay, but now we have another government.
That's correct. Yes.
But because of the Nile River, Egypt always was very productive.
That's correct. There's no doubt. That's right.
It was the place where everyone would go.
Yes. In fact, in the time of Yosef, Rashi says that only Eretz Canaan had the famine. No other nation had to go to Mitzrayim. But at the time of Yaakov and Yosef, everybody was going down to Mitzrayim. Yeah.
How did the Ramban get away with this?
The Ramban. Because he's the Ramban. He's the greatest. I love him. Because he's so bold.
Yes, I agree. And I really respect him. But this was really flies in the face of everything that you don't question any of the others, you don't question any of the others, you don't question
any. That's the Ramban. He disagreed with that premise.
So how did he, I'm not understanding how it was accepted all these centuries by people.
The overwhelming majority of traditional Jews don't accept the Ramban. Because they can't believe that somebody's going to criticize the Avot.
So Ramban has not learned a certain things.
You will never learn this Ramban in Beis Yaakov.
Not this one, but generally speaking.
You will never learn that Ramban in Beis Yaakov. You will never learn.
Ramban will just select that.
Okay, you're an exception. Because your father taught it to you, that's why. Because he was a little more open-minded. But it's a good question. How did the Ramban say something like that? But he did. He did. He believes that you don't negate from their greatness by pointing out their faults, and all the more reason when you see that they're human beings, they make mistakes. We can attain the same greatness that they can. If they were perfect angels, there'd be nothing to aspire to because we know that we're not perfect angels.
So this is really what the centrist and modern Orthodox Torah might be saying. Is there anyone else besides the Ramban who
says this black on white like this? No. No one else. No. But he's pretty big shoulders to stand on. Yeah.
So it seems like it's very circuitous to me. They lived in Canaan because Hashem told them to go there. Then Hashem didn't provide enough food for them, so they had to leave. So they left. They went to Mitzrayim where there was enough food. But now Yaakov and his children are going to be punished because Abraham left the country that Hashem told him to go to, that he went to, and had no food, to go to the place that did have food.
Right. Precisely.
But they weren't so good either.
What?
An Adam Costello skin.
But that's
precisely. But why are we getting
So you're asking me, okay, see the Ramban, okay, I don't think that the Ramban is actually saying that the chait of Avram caused the decision to be made. He's just saying what happened to Avram is going to be repeated itself. Now, there could be other reasons why. And we know the reasons. The sin'ah that existed with the brothers is, you know, and part of the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avram was, Ki yer ziyeh zaracha, the eretz lo lahem. Right, ba'avodum. Ve'inu otam arba meot shana. So that's part of the deal which Avram accepted. Then the land will be yours permanently. Okay, but that's not happening at this point yet. At this point, there's no Brit Bein Haptarim. And as the Rav pointed out sharply, it never says that you have to go to Mitzrayim to fulfill Eretz Lo Lahem. Yaakov believed that when he was in Haran for 22 years, he fulfilled the promise. That was one of the best things the Rav ever said. That Vayeshev one. Fantastic. Why that was the one of it? It never says that Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Kigei Yizarach Be'eretz, it says Be'eretz Lo Lohem. Yaakov believed that he was by Lavan for 22 years, he fulfilled the promise. Now, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Kanaan, he's here to settle down, I'm here permanently.
Well, that's what he had, but before he goes to Mitzrayim, he like stands there and says, am I supposed to be doing this?
Correct.
And Hashem says,
I'll tayreid Mitzrayim. That's correct. Right? But up until then, he was planning to appoint Yosef as the king. And then, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you got it all wrong. Yosef's not the king. You got to go. Yehuda's going to wind up with the Malchus.
Is that Ramban saying that God, like his opposite signal to the person, is the sin that then for the future, right? Avram gets rich, and then his kids are punished,
sure.
But they get rich eventually.
Yeah,
Hashem endorses sending Hagar and Ishmael away, but then implies later that it's a sin. Like, how can there be? It's like saying there's an ethic aside from what Hashem clearly is endorsing or rewarding.
That's a debate.
It's a choice.
That's a good philosophical debate. Is there such a thing as an ethic that emerges outside of the framework of Torah thinking? It's good. It's a debate that many people have. Let's continue. Vayehi ka'asher hikriv lavoi mitzrayma vayomer asora yishto hinei na yadati ki isha yifarat mare at. I now know, I'm reading Pasuk Yud Aleph, back in the text.
Oh, back in the text. Okay.
And then we'll be back to the Ramban. Because he sharply disagrees with Rashi. They went, as they approached Mitzrayim, Avram says to Sarai, Hine na yadati ki isha yifat mare'at. So Rashi says, Hine na yadati, now I came to this realization. That's Rashi's interpretation. Let's read the Rashi. It's a famous Midrash. And he admits it's a Midrash. Midrash Agada. Ad achshav lo hikir ba mitoch tzni'ut shebishnehem. Up until now, he did not know how beautiful she was on account of the sense of privacy and humility, I don't know what else you want to say, and that they observed amongst each other. Ve'achshav al yedei ma'aseh, because of a particular action, hikirba, he recognized it. So everybody knows the famous Midrash, which Rashi is referring to. They passed the Nile River, and he saw the reflection of Sarah in the water. Oh my, she is magnificently beautiful. Okay? That's the famous Midrash. Davar acher, Minhag ha'olam Sha'al yidei toreach haderech adam mitbazeh. Normal travel along the road is not something that's conducive. There's not a nail store every 10 miles in the desert. No nail stores in the desert. Not like Manhattan. Every two stores is either a fruit store or... So what happens is it's a little difficult to maintain your complexion and your beauty. Therefore, and now the Torah is saying, Sarai maintained her beauty despite the fact that they were traveling such a long time. That's a second interpretation. Upshuto shel mikra. You wonder what the simple pshat is? Hinena higia hasha'a sheyesh lidog al yafyeich. The time has come that I have to be concerned, sensitive, and worry about your beauty. Why? Yadati ze yamim rabim ki yifat mara. I knew this all along. How can I not know it? V'achshav anu ba'im bein anashim shechorim u'michu'arim acheihem shel kushim. We've come to a community that are dark-skinned and ugly-looking brethren of the blacks. V'lor hurgalu b'ishi yafeh. And they're not used to seeing, accustomed to seeing a beautiful woman. So now I got to worry about it. That's how Rashi says it's the simple pshat of the pasuk. Simple pshat. But even Rashi would say, even according to the pshat, this apparently was the first occurrence where his disconsideration came about. First occurrence. Comes to Mitzrayim, the quality of the people are less than stellar, and as a result he's somewhat worried. The Ramban says, this has happened 50 times already. Let's read the Ramban. On page 3, on the left-hand side of the Ramban. Hineinu yadati, the last entry on that page. Hineinu yadati, imrina achotiyat. Lo yadati, lama pachad mimena ata yoter mikodem lechem. Why is he worried now when he's coming to Mitzrayim and never any time earlier? V'im nomar, the way Rashi just said it, shehayu hamitzriim shchorim umichuarim k'divrei Rashi. If you want to say and adopt Rashi's explanation, because the Egyptians were not exactly the most pleasant-looking people around, and somehow they're going to get terribly excited when they see Sarai. Hine gam la'avimelech melech plishtim amar kein. Avram said the same thing when he appeared in Plishtim, telling this to Avimelech. And what's your excuse over there? Plishtim are part of the Canaanites who live there, and they're not any different than anybody else in Canaan. Gam hu, gam Yitzchak. Not only did he tell this to Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, but what else? Yitzchak did the same thing. Shahayadar ba'aretz hahi b'mitzvat Hashem, who was living in Eretz Canaan all his life in accordance with the commandment of God. Ulai, perhaps, suggests the Ramban, hayu hakna'anim b'ador hahu shitufim ba'avodah zarah. They were engaged in what? In idolatry. Ugdurim min ho'arayot yoter me'anshei Mitzrayim v'haplishtim. Perhaps the Canaanite people were worried, they're into idolatry, but what are they careful about? What are they careful about? Arayot. They're careful about arayot. But the Plishtim and the Egyptians are not. Maybe. But ve'einenu nachon. I don't think that's right either. Ve'yitachen, and it is possible, ki lo haya lohem pachad, rak Bivoam Beir Moshav HaMelachim. The fear only sets in when you enter the king's city. Why? Ki, page number 4. Must have skipped the page. I have it, but it's not on the sheet. Okay. I'll have to tell it to you by heart. Where's the Ramban?
Page
4? Yeah, but that's... Yeah, but I forgot to photos that page Kufnun Zion. Kufnun Vav is here. Kufnun Zion, I didn't photos that. Okay, so I'll tell it to you outside. No? Kufnun Zion in this edition of the Ramban. Yeah. There are two editions here. One is, I did that other one because the Torah took this Chumash does not have the Kli Yakar. So I use the old-fashioned Mikros Gedolos. Okay. Because kings often had the practice to bring every attractive woman into their palace. So when he travels around under ordinary circumstances, he's not terribly worried. But whenever he comes to the city where a king dwells, he's coming into Mitzrayim, where there's Paro, he's worried in Plishtim, because Avimelech is the king, Melech Plishtim. That's why he's suddenly worried there. Ki hayadarkam lahavi la melech haisha hayafa ma'od vilaharog et ba'ala be'alila shiyasimu alav. Maze alila shiyasimu alav? They'll accuse him of something, they fabricate an excuse. Oh, he's been judged to murder. They would never outright just take somebody's wife. They frame him, they do something, they make up a charge, they execute him, his wife is now available. That's possible, says the Ramban. That's possible. That's a possibility. So Avram's concern is only when he comes to Melech, to Ir Hamalucha. Then, and we'll continue with this next thing, I want you to see it inside, the Ramban offers Vahanachon Be'enai. I'll tell you what I think is the real pshat. We'll continue with this next week, I'll photostat it, and we'll see it inside. And continue with a nut. It's a very long Ramban.
So was it considered an Avera that Abraham did?
According to the Ramban, yes. According to everybody else, no. Bishgaga, yeah.
What does that mean? He meant well?
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah.
What's the word?
Shogeg. Like, yeah.
Like accident.
Like accident. Not really, yeah.